Maiden name was Isabel Sproul. I was born near Mabee, January the 9th, 1903. Went to kindergarten at Gramlich School. Then went to St. Joseph's at Mabee. Walked 6 miles a day. On Sunday, went to church in Asiri.
What's Asiri?
With the fringe on top. And our parents always took us on sleigh rides, parties, and dances. But we had to keep straw in to keep warm in the sleigh.
Where were the dances held at?
Aunts and uncles, relatives. And he also played the accordion. To go to Monroe was something great. With horse and buggy, and would stop at Davers.
What was Davers?
It was a livery stable where we kept our horses to feed them until we got ready to go home.
Where was that at?
Monroe, Michigan?
No, I mean, where was it at in Monroe?
Davers.
The street.
Front Street. West Front Street.
How many times would you come into Monroe?
Oh, maybe once a month.
How long did it take to get to Monroe from Mabee?
Oh, I don't know. Quite a while. Horse and buggy.
What did you do when you got in Monroe?
Well, got a few groceries, and that was about the only time we'd have a banana, so we'd have a bunch of bananas to take home. And get a sandwich into Davers.
A banana was something good to have?
Oh, it was something we didn't have much, and it was some goodie for us.
How old were you when you did this?
Probably 10. Later on, we moved to Mabee. My dad leased the Kohler Hotel.
Didn't he like farming anymore?
It was almost too much for him by himself. And so he thought he'd do that.
Didn't
she
have
change.
A big family?
It was 10. 8 girls and 2 boys. And we had a saloon. And the depot was right almost next to the hotel, and there was transients coming, agents.
What were transients?
Just the agents to come to stay all night to do business the next day. And they'd stay all night, and then they'd have a like a taxi. There was a man that took him around the next day. And then they'd catch the train again. And we had boarders that worked at the stone quarry near Schofield. And we used to put up many lunches for them, lunch boxes. And for a while, we had dances in the lobby.
How much did the meals cost?
Well, 50 cents, and the lodging was $1 a night. We had a woman come, and she wanted to sell pianos, player pianos, and she'd play in the lobby and she also played for a few dances. And we had a colored orchestra from Detroit, which played. And I forgot to say, too, that the train that went by, our door was right just a few feet from the track, and we used to put their dinner up every day in a large basket, and they had a long hook, and we'd go out, and they'd stick the hook out, and we'd hang the basket on, and that was their dinner for the day.
How do they pay you?
Well, they'd stop in when the train stopped for, you know, a few minutes, and they'd run in and pay.
What were the rooms like in the hotel?
Well, we had 9 transient rooms, and of course it wasn't so easy to keep them up because we had the water pitchers and the chambers, and then for fire protection we had large ropes with a piece of steel connected on the floor up above. You throw them out the window and slide down.
Were these out, you know, at each room?
Most all of the sleeping rooms. After probation, we had a soft drink parlor, sandwiches and so forth. And but before that, I want to say that there was other saloons there too, like Miller's and Gelsch's and Gerhardt's. And after it closed, well, we had the soft drink parlor, and I guess they still, some of them still made money selling.
The black market.
Well, I was born in 1904 up around Ivy. Then we moved down here to Monroe when I was about 6 years old. My dad bought 16 acres of land, and we used to raise sugar beets on it. Dad put them out for us, and we'd take and my dad's name was Emory Conless, my name was Francis Conless. We worked 60, used to put sugar beets in for us, and we'd taken home, and we'd have to take care of them all, and he'd haul them away, and he'd give us some money for them. Then he got so it, he started making hay for Dibers. That was a livery stable down here where the farmers came to town and kept their horses. And he had, Island over here. That was a Dibers Island, and that's where he'd get the hay. And then he'd have to haul it with that downtown on Front Street and unload it and come back and load up again and take all the hay down there. So the farmers come to town, he'd sell them the hay for their horses.
What year was this?
Oh, that was in 1910, maybe, something like that. Then he started working for the Monroe Lumber Company. They used to haul lumber in down on First Street there. There used to be a railroad track come up. And he'd unload the cars there with the team of horses and haul it back where Kroger store is now and unload it. And us kids used to have to take his lunch down every day, and he'd give us a nickel to go up to and get a bottle of pop and bring it back to him, and we'd get a nickel too to get a bottle of pop.
Where did you get the pop at? Uptown, just uptown there?
Up there to Lowers and Divers. Them stores aren't in business anymore. And then we used to take eggs down to City Hotel. That used to be on Front Street, too. The hotel, we used to take all their eggs. We used to take them down to the jail. And that's all. Then afterwards, that land there, he got and platted it out. At that time, the highway came through, and he had to replat it. They bought a strip off of it, and he had to replat it all over.
This was a telegraph road?
Yeah, a telegraph road. And then he platted it out, and we quit farming. And then he used to take an old, he'd take bobsleigh rides with his team, and he'd take, people would hire him, and he'd go out and stay, go out to a farmer's house that had square dances. He'd stay all night before 4 o'clock in the morning when he'd get home. In the wintertime, some nights he'd be gone 3-4 times a week. And then when he didn't do that in the daytime, there used to be a funeral home down here, Weber his name was, and he used to take and drive the hack.
What was a hack?
Well, that's a hack. They had a hack where they used to haul people, and then they had the hearse. He'd haul the hearse too. He used to have a black harness all shined up, and he used to haul the hearse, haul the body to the cemetery, and bring him back.
How much did he charge for something like that?
Oh, them days, if you got $5, that'd be a lot of money. When prohibition was, we used to take eggs down to the jail. Barley was sheriff, and I knew young Joe Barley, and he used to bring belts and hot water bottles to school, which he'd take off of people bootlegging women.
That was during the prohibition then?
Yeah, and they'd take these women and have them filled full of whiskey and have them on their chest, you know. And they'd take them in there, and young Barley would drain them, they'd drain them out, and, well, be honest about it, the sheriff sold the whiskey, and there was a lot of the whiskey when we'd go down there after school, and we had the job of carrying it in bushel baskets, Joe and I, young Joe, over under the courthouse and store it there.
Under the courthouse?
Yeah, in the basement of the courthouse. And then when we'd take them eggs, Alvin and I would take the eggs, and one of them would take the eggs in, and then I'd sneak back, and if they got a bootlegger car come in, they pull the bootlegger car in, take the men in, well, then I'd go through and steal some of the whiskey out of the car and bring it home.
Where was the jail at, then?
That was down on the corner of Washington 2nd Street. Where it is now, that was an old jail. Mm. One time, I'll never forget, I was taking some eggs down there, and there was a woman come running out, and a deputy, get her, and as she went by me, I put my foot out and tripped her. She rolled over, and he caught her, and I've been sorry ever since that I got that. Well, through the Depression, they used to go down there. They had a meat market, called it the Milan Meat Market, I think, on Washington Street. And I used to go in there, and I'd buy enough meat for $2.50 to last us all week, and then I'd give her father and mother enough meat for four or five meals for $2.50, steaks and everything.
What about shrouders?
Well, Dad used to sell beef too. He used to go out in the country and buy a cow, and he'd take it up to Shroudner's here, and they'd kill it. And then we'd bring it home, the quarters, and we'd cut it all up in chunks. And we had regular people go to their house. We had horse and buggy, and we'd go to the people, and we'd have that in bushel basket. And we'd take it in, and they'd go through, wouldn't pick out the pieces. And he had so much a chunk. Wasn't by the pound. So much for this chunk, so much for this steak that he cut.
How much did it cost for like a whole
beef?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe you'd buy one for $70, $60 then, something like that. And we used to cut that up, and every week on Friday and Saturday, that's what we'd do. We'd go around, had regular houses, and go there, and then if a next-door neighbor would want some, why, you'd go over, they'd tell them, and we'd go over there and sell them stuff. Then for the next week, maybe they'd order what kind they wanted, see? Maybe they wanted steaks.
How did you keep this meat cold? How did you keep the meat cold?
Well, he just done that in the wintertime.
Oh.
He'd just do that in the wintertime, take and sell it. In fact, I got the old saw down the cellar yet that we used to cut it up with.
Oldest brother was in World War I, 1918, and he was at Camp Custer. And they had this epidemic of flu there, and it was just about like the scare we have now. And we were all so worried about it, but fortunately the war ended and he got home and he escaped this. And I also had a youngest sister, had canker sore mouth, and in those days, well, they didn't have penicillin and such things, and her mouth got blue, and the medicine, she just had blue just all around her face, and her teeth fell out one by one till they were all gone, and it poisoned her system, and she passed away. She was 18
months old. The doctors couldn't
do
anything about it?
No, they just didn't seem to have the medicine or the know-how to do then. Also, when we lived on the farm years ago, they had grocery wagons, huckster wagons or whichever, and they would have all sorts of groceries, and if you had eggs, we'd trade our eggs in for the groceries, and we looked forward for that every week. They'd come around, get a few pieces of candy and so forth and so on. And also, we had the fish peddlers come around. Any fish today? Any fish today? And we'd go out and we'd have our fish, right, about 5 cents a pound.
Yeah, after he worked at a lumber company, Ed, that was my dad's brother, he was a bookkeeper at the lumber company. So pretty soon the lumber company went out of business when Kroger's went in there.
Kroger's went in there that early?
Kroger's went in and built back there. And so Dad and my uncle, they took the team that Dad had, and they bought a big coal wagon, had one built, and they got a carload of coal in. And they sold that, and they kept getting in some more and more. And finally, they got to build a place up on the railroad, lease some off the railroad company up on Dan's Avenue and build a little shed there, and they started in the coal business.
What year was this?
Oh, that was, I don't know, that's 25 years ago, it would be 1925, 30. And then why, Ed, he died, and Dad bought Ed's wife's share of it. And they used to unload the coal there.
What'd they call the coal? What was the
Connell's
name?
Coal Company. And for the head conveyors, they used to get niggers would come up there. And so colored guys would come up there, and when they'd see the car of coal, they'd say, they'd switch it in maybe at noon. And ask, we unload that? Yeah, you can unload it. When are you going to unload it? Well, some of them say, we'll start right away, and they'd unload it. And take them quite a while. And then they used to have one big colored fella. He'd come up, and he'd start at night, and he'd be waiting in the morning for his money. He'd have it all unloaded. So finally...
How big were these cars?
50 ton. 45 and 50 ton. Finally, the colored fella, he didn't like it. He wanted a bigger shovel so he could throw more out at a time. And Dad got him a big shovel so he could unload it faster. But he'd be sitting there in the morning waiting for his money.
How much would he get?
I think they'd give him about $6 or $8 then. I forget just what it was. And by night, he'd be back trying to borrow some money. He'd have it all spent already. And he'd go back, want to borrow a couple of dollars till another car come in so he could shovel it off. And, oh, they used to do that. And then later on, the conveyors came in. And they bought conveyors. Well, that all you had to do is open the hopper and the bottom and turn on your conveyor, and it would convey it up over where you want it and drop it off, see? But when they first started out, it was all shovel the car or coal off. Had to shovel it. Dad and Huffman, they bought a pool room down there. Well, it was right close to Coney Island there, where the brass rail went in afterwards.
Where that uptown bar's at now?
Yeah. And we used to go down there to shoot pool all the time. And every Sunday morning, my Dad would go down to the fire engine house and play cards with them till noon to 1 o'clock. And I used to go to the pool room. We shoot pool till 1 o'clock, and then we all come home to dinner. It was Alvin and Leon. Then finally Leon, he run it for Dad there.
He was your brother?
Yeah. And they had that for a long time. I never will forget one time a slicker came to town here, pool slicker. He could beat anybody a-going. They had keno games.
Oh, what were keno games?
Well, it was a round board with a bunch of holes they'd put on top of the table there. Then you shoot your balls up, and if it went in a blue, why, maybe the other guy'd have to give you a nickel. And if it went in a yellow, maybe it cost a dime. You'd tell, and the different one, 4 or 5 could shoot it. Anyway, I got shooting with him one time. Wouldn't shoot pool with him because he was too good. He could shoot keno, and I got lucky. And I think I beat him out of $12. We were playing pretty good money, and I beat him out of $12. And, well, that hurt him. And then I quit.
You know what that guy's name was?
No, he was a out-of-town guy, just them slickers come in. And he hung around for quite a while, and every day he'd come in there, and he'd want to shoot, and I wouldn't shoot with him anymore. As long as I had him hooked, I knew he could beat me, and I wouldn't shoot him anymore. And he hung around. Murphy had a gambling joint down on First Street. He used to hang in there all the time. First thing you know, the gambling joint was raided. They came from out of town, some fellas, and got these police, and they raided it. All these police knew all about it all the time, didn't know about the raid. They got him in, and that guy was never around town after that. He was a cover-up, you know, going out, spotting these places, and he'd have turn them in, and they'd raid him, and he'd go somewhere else. Never seen him after that. Yeah. Three brothers came from Ireland, and I don't know whether they was riding a freight or what they were doing. Anyway, when they got into Monroe, he jumps off. Said, or LaSalle, he jumps off and said he was going to stay here. And the other two went on
who
to camp.
Jumped off?
Dad's father. And the other two went to Kansas City, I think it was. And then he worked around here till he got work and got some money and built a farm, had a farm there. And then he used to come in town and sell his stuff and get drunk, get in a fight, and then on the way home, they used to tell that they could hear him about 9 o'clock coming, and there was a Breitner's out there. They'd go out and with a lantern and see if he was all right, and he'd go on home, horses take him on home. He only lived a little ways. Then there is a school right about a quarter of a mile from there. They had a big wedding there. I guess he was nuts, and they made too much noise for him there. And he wasn't invited, so he went out and cleaned the whole gang up. Well, anyway, he was coming home one night, and horses run off the road and run the ditch. I think that'd be where the old Dixie Highway is now. And he fell off and froze to death in the ditch.
How long ago was this?
Jesus, that's maybe 100 years ago. I never seen the fella. There's a cemetery out here, Stein Road, where they hadn't been no people buried there in quite a few years, and now they started, some old timers was getting buried there. And it would grow right up, and the damn woodchucks would take and woodchucks would take and dig holes and go right down in the caskets, you know. And there are bones out there and everything from it. And here...
That was in the paper, wasn't it, or something? Or the picture.
Yeah. And here, about 2-3 months ago, they wanted... They wanted to bury somebody out there, and I don't know what happened. They couldn't get in, so they just took the casket, loaded the long side of the road, and went on.
When was this?
About 2-3 months ago.
As the car cost 50 years ago. The government must put into effect a national health insurance for all people due to more going on retirement at an earlier age. Before prices and wages get out of control, there should be a wage and price freeze. It does no good to keep raising wages, as this only makes everything needed go higher, so no one gains. My grandmother on my mother's side came from Canterbury, England, at the age of 11 years. My mother had the distinction of naming for herself Viroca, which is an Indian name. I'll take that off. Having named herself due to, shut that off a minute now, I got census taker came to my grandmother's home, and my mother was in the yard. The census man asked her name, and she tried to say Viroca. After talking to my grandmother, he asked her what the little girl's name was. And she stated she had none. However, he said she tried to give me a name, which was Viroca. Well, then my grandmother says, well, that will be her name. Also, as a young boy, I was in a Boy Scout troop, one of the first, in 1910. Also, as a young boy, I belonged to a baseball team which was then the youngest uniform baseball team in the country, from Carlton, Michigan. And this picture appeared in papers.
What was the name?
All over the country. Huh?
What was the name of the team?
I don't take that off. Also, in my younger days, one of the sports for younger people were in the winter time. The farmers would come to town with their bobsleds, and you would catch a ride on this bobsled and go in the country hoping that you would get a return ride back to town. Let me shut that.